Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have some amazing guests for you today. We've been talking backstage, and already the conversation was getting interesting. I had to just stop just so I could bring you into the conversation. But please go ahead and share this interview, share this video, because our guests are going to bring you some information that I'm sure you and your friends are going to want to take notes on. Our first guest is Bunny Young. Bunny is a growth coach, a speaker, a retreat facilitator, and an author. Good morning, Bunny. How are you?
I am a little fantabulous this morning. Thank you for asking.
Fantabulous. So, is that a word?
It is now. Before the end of this interview, it'll be on Wikipedia. So it will be a word because it'll exist on the internet. So that will happen.
I was just wondering.
I think it's a word.
Yes. Fantabulous.
I think it's a word. Somebody needs to Google it.
We'll Google it sometime during the next hour. We discussed that on yesterday's show, just creating words and who can create words and who can and why. And then I'm like, Will Smith created a word. So why can't anyone create a word? He created Jiggy.
Oh, I guess he did create Jiggy.
He did.
Well, yeah, it's fantabulous is a much better word than some of the cuss words I've created. So, you know, that's nice. I thought I was going to be creative and not actually cuss around my children and use other words. So we've gotten pretty creative, but now I'm just back to the normal cuss words.
I like you, buddy. You're interesting. What do you have going on your head?
So what we were talking about backstage was this phenomenon on these kinds of webinar platforms or virtual platforms or the virtual backgrounds. And since my background, my personal and professional backgrounds in human psychology, I know that it's hard to connect with somebody unless there's that belief that it's authentic and it's real. So I stole this from my three-year-old. And as we talked about, I have a whole collection of them that we can wear during these interviews, because as soon as you go live and as soon as they turn on the camera, it gets a smile and a laugh. And I think that's something that we all need right now. So it takes a strong, confident female to wear Minnie Mouse ears.
It does. And I love it. We're talking about being honest and authentic. She's like, I stole it from my children. So, hey, you know, you may gotta pick your morals.
Yes, absolutely.
Our next guest is Colton Croninger, and he is one of the top guerrilla marketers on the planet. And he's also the co-founder of Anxiety Hacker. Good morning, Colton. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So, of course, we're going to bring you into the conversation on background. So whether you have a real background, a faith background, what do you have going on in your background? Because I love it, by the way.
Thank you. So all of this is real. And then this is just a TV. And I play a YouTube video. So I actually, like, if you walk around my house, like in every room, like I've got like calm, like meditation music and stuff. And so there's usually good like music playing with this. So it's usually just like I set the mood.
But you know, therapists and psychologists and those people who know, they always say fish are so calm. Like if you have a room with fish, you just immediately automatically just feel calm.
Absolutely. I think I'm obsessed with the water. And then I joined the Navy just because it had to do with water. So I love anything water.
Oh, wow. No, that's cool. I didn't join the Navy, but I live in Long Beach, California, and I have friends who are in Burbank and all, you know, further off. And they're like, Sharifa, you never come visit. I'm like, you don't have any water. Like, I live right by the beach. I'm not going over there where it's dry. I love it. And I love your background. I don't know how we got on backgrounds. I tell everybody when a show starts, whatever we decide to discuss, we will discuss. I don't know and I don't plan, but somehow this is the topic that we pick, which is going to take me over to our next guest, which is Dolores Hirschman, who is a communications and business strategist, a TEDx organizer, an author, and a speaker. Good morning, Dolores. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. It's been so fun already.
It's only been 5 minutes, Dolores.
It's only been 5 minutes. I know. We barely even introduced each other.
Yes. Well, we were talking a little bit about backgrounds. Bunny comes out. She makes it a little bit more personal. Colton, he done made a masterpiece out of his background. But you actually study this whole theory. You have trust channels and what people trust. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, Dolores.
Absolutely. I help people clarify their message and their positioning so that they can grow their business by building trust-based relationships. So I don't teach marketing or sales. I teach trust funnels because I believe that we get our products out into the market and people buy our product because we have built a trust-based relationship where they know that we have a solution for them and they trust us with their problem. I think that the biggest honor you can get as a service provider, as a business, is that someone trusts you with their problem. And so one of the things that I'm playing with in this kind of weird times that we are living is that what does your background say about your trust funnel strategy? And even though my business hasn't changed, I've always worked remotely. A lot of people are now jumping onto conducting their business online. And I want to call attention into how can people trust you if some elements in your background are not real? so we're studying, and I haven't drawn any conclusion yet. We're in the process of researching, but we're doing interviews and we're doing kind of surveys of what kind of background do you have and what is the experience when different experiences in Zoom or in video cameras, when the other person has a real background or a virtual background or even a green screen, which could be great, but I have my theories.
Well, I guess we're going to talk some more about some theories because I'm the same way. Zoom sent out the email that said, oh, look, we have backdrops. And I was like, okay, cool. I want a backdrop. So I looked at them and I said, you know what? None of them just really resonated with me. I wanted to have this kind of at home feeling and kind of share some of the people that are most important to me. Hey, that's kind of cool. I love that. Like, can we stay right there for a minute? You gotta say something to the people, Dolores.
Well, I decided to go to the beach while we were having the conversation.
I love it.
Like, how are you feeling? Like, I was presenting myself in one way and I'm presenting myself in another way. How do you feel right now about me presenting? Are you distracted by my background or is it reinforcing my introduction? Like, I don't know. That's what we're researching.
Well, I'll give you my answer, then maybe somebody else has a different view. When you had your, without the background, I was looking and I noticed, okay, you have a plant. So that means you can take care of things. I don't allow pets or plants because my kids are alive because they can talk. They're like, mom, we need dinner. I'm like, you do. And then I feed them, you know, pets, plants, I don't keep those around. So you had a plant. So I felt like you could take care of things. There appeared to be some type of mom poster. So that means someone, some child loves you, you know? So I kind of look at the things, the personal aspects that are in the background. You got the nice little nightlight, you're organized, your books are in perfect order. So you have the pictures over there. So I like it. But when you went to the scene of the beach, I said, you know what? It's kind of like a vision board where this is out of all the places in the world that you would love to be, you would love to be on the beach. Maybe that's here in Long Beach with me. But we're going to talk a little bit about that and more as well. We're going to move over to our next guest, Hector Maggie. Hector, you're amazing. You're an experienced managing director. But where's your creativity, Hector? You gotta talk one. Let me do it for you, Hector.
Got it.
There you go.
I guess that we just haven't put much attention to that. You know, we've been focusing on developing a different kind of channel, more traditional ones, and I think we've totally neglected backgrounds. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been focusing on enhancing how we appear to the community or to the or to customers and potential customers via our website primarily. one of the things that we've done is we've created articles, we've created videos, and those, you know, tend to go more towards the channel that we're talking right now. But we've totally neglected the the background.
No. I'm just giving you. I just like giving people a hard time, Hector. So you're the brunt of my joke right now, because I like your background, and it may sound really weird, but when I want to work with someone, I won't, especially, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about what you do, but to me, what it appears is that you're at work and that you're serious, that you're going to handle my situation seriously, and that you're not off on the golf course, you're not blowing me off, you're not playing with dragons, you know, you're serious, you're focused, you're listening to me. So it's like, okay, I will want to do business with Hector.
I'm actually at work.
Exactly.
I'm actually in my office. One of the things that I was able to do through this whole deal is we have a small office, and we are considered essential for mission essential, you know, so we supply the military. Mm-hmm. So we actually were able to keep our office open. Mm-hmm. So it gives me a little bit of an excuse with my wife. You know, we have a 5-year-old, soon to be 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And wild. So, you know, if things are not flying, kids are not having fun. So, you know.
Hector's like, I go to work to get away from these kids.
You discovered it. You know, you found, you got me.
I love it. But you say you work with the military. I don't know if it's top secret or not, but tell us a little bit about your business and what you actually do.
Well, we supply tools, you know, nothing crazy, but we supply some cool products, some tools. And one of our customers happens to build a very cool set of boats. They call them LCS, a literal combat ship. Mm-hmm. And it's a company by the name of Austal, AUSTAL, and they're in Mobile. And it's some pretty amazing big old ships. So they're built of aluminum and they're just fast. So it's one of our big customers. Mm-hmm. And those guys just have to have, you know, supplies. So mm-hmm. when they call, we listen, you know, and we deliver whatever they ask us for.
And your backdrop shows that when they call, you listen. You're not too busy playing on the beach like Dolores over here. You're doing your work. We're going to bring it up.
Don't get me wrong, Dolores. Don't get me wrong, Sharif. I was actually on my other screen trying to get that, you know, one of those cool backgrounds. I'm jumping on board, you know,
Dolores will show you how. She has 800 of them. She changes them every day. Don't worry.
Hector, you have that white space behind you. Just print something out, like large enough on like 11 by 14 and just post it right there. Like,
I could.
You know, Hector's Absolutely. The greatest or something like that. Like, we sell tools to the military.
Something fun. I'm thinking of getting myself a headpiece too, you know? Maybe a cowboy hat.
I am so disappointed in all of my Texans for not showing up and representing with your big hat and just all of that. So, but I'm looking forward to you sending me all of these screenshots and all of these updates of the headpieces. I will come after you afterwards to make sure that you're bringing your headpieces into these interactions.
I don't have a hat, but I've got my horse with me.
You have your horse? Can we see your horse? We saw Bunny's horse earlier.
My horse, right? Zoot.
Hi, Zoot. See, it's always the pets. It's the kids, the dogs. Ari, we have Ari Brish. He's into innovation and commercialization. He's an expert investor, and he is the author of the popular bestseller business book, Lay an Egg and Make Chicken Soup. Good morning, Ari. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. Good. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you for joining us.
So the background here is collection of stuff I haven't sewn away yet?
No, you got to, everything is the spin, Ari. You got to spin it. It's not collection of stuff. It's mad scientists.
Yeah, right. So basically, maybe there is a story of my life in the past 20 years, if you ask one item at a time. There must be probably a story behind it. I did have one kind of politically implied thing on my background that I thought would maybe intimidate one of my clients, so I took it off. Other than that, everything is the same as it was 5 or 10 or 15, 20 years ago.
Hmm. I'm almost curious. I like almost want to know what you removed, but I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to open Pandora's box. Yeah, but I see you have your support bear in the background. You have your support bear.
Yeah, so the story behind the bear is it's a UT Austin Longhorn bear. And my wife, in her second career, did another degree in UT Austin. So that's a gift I bought to her for her when she started her school at the age of 40 something. So that's a second life for her.
Mm. So we can learn a lot about that. We can learn that you can always have a second life, a second career, and you can always begin again. Ari, you are helping people. Tell us about your book, because what is Lay an Egg, Make Chicken Soup? How do you?
Okay, that's the book, by the way, in case you see the picture somewhere. The name of the book came from the metaphor of chicken and an egg. Anytime you start a new business, you have a chicken and an egg question of some sort, or sometimes multiple of them. Should I start my restaurant at a 5,000 square foot place or 20,000 square foot place? That's a chicken and egg question. So that's why I picked the name. I took it to the next level with the chicken soup thing at the end, kind of talk about, okay, exceeding what your original plans for your business were.
Okay, so you're going to teach us how to do that, right? Because I don't know.
I'm not going to teach you. It's more about what you need to think about. Some of us in a military background, we know about landmines that are in front of us, and you need to know where they are to bypass them. So the same thing in business. And in many cases, I also volunteer as a mentor in different organizations, and what I found a common thread is that in many cases, the entrepreneur that start the business is young and inexperienced, and they have a good idea, but they don't have the experience and the scars to expect any pitfalls or landmines along the way. So kind of the book is a guidance as far as where to look for obstacles so you can plan ahead for the obstacles.
Okay, so what are some of the obstacles or landmines that entrepreneurs can expect when beginning their business?
Well, we start with talking about how to come up with a new idea. So the differentiate your business is probably one of the things you need to think about. The other common phenomena that people sometimes ignore is the fact of learning curve. Any new business you start, your cost of doing the business, whether it's a new hair salon or a new app for a cell phone, there is a learning curve, there is mistakes. It costs you more to do X, Y, Z on day one than it will cost you 3 years down the road. Many business plans take the cost, long-term cost, as the cost factor in their business plan, but they forget to take into account the fact that the cost is much higher at the beginning of the life of the business. And when the business depends on cash flow, you are into a major surprise when the cash flow is start to deplete and you didn't plan for that disconnect.
Absolutely. I found the same thing to be true when speaking with business owners or entrepreneurs. The Harvard School of Law, the rule is you should have enough money in the bank for 5 years, whether or not you make a profit. So many business owners, they go into business and they're basing their success of the business on the profits. And they do what I call a Hail Mary path, where they basically have enough money in the bank for the first month. And then they're like, oh my God, I'll buy this or go do some Facebook ads. And then all of a sudden I'll be successful. And it's like, no, in order to remain in business, you have to have enough resources in the bank so that you're really not operating out of fear and trying to do some last minute marketing strategy or get some type of miracle press or whatever it is so that you can be successful. So don't, you know, I tell people, even if you may want to start your own business, if you're currently employed and you're able to stay at your job, save up some money, put some money away, take, you know, some seed money, seed capital to start your business, and don't look at the profits for at least even the SBA says you should have enough money for 2 years, maybe not 5 years, but 2 years. So you don't want to have the first month and then nothing else. Yeah. So yeah. Colton, you work with business owners as well, help them get started. And, you know, I read your bio and it said you're the one of the top guerrilla marketers on the planet. And I said, I have to speak to this guy. I have to have a conversation. First of all, talk to us about business. Tell us what guerrilla marketing is and how you became one of the top guerrilla marketers on the planet.
Absolutely. Guerrilla marketing is, I think it's defined as like innovative and unconventional ways to market your business. But to me, it was just like, you know, how you market your business when you're broke and you have no money, you know, that's guerrilla marketing. And so I wish I would have read Ari's book sooner, but I saw, you know, 9 out of 10 small businesses fail. So I was like, okay, well, let me just start 10 businesses. You know, I'm kind of like throwing darts at a dartboard, but it actually took me 34 businesses and a Chapter 7 bankruptcy to figure it out. But I think guerrilla marketing is just standing out. You know, I like to say I don't compete with anybody because I just make my products or services so different that it just becomes easier to sell.
What is Anxiety Hacker?
So pretty much I had gotten out of the military and, you know, ended up in a homeless shelter and I couldn't get a job. I don't have a degree. And so then I just started kind of like working on my anxiety, and then some of my military friends started seeing and started sharing it with them, and then it's kind of just grown from there. And then now I've got about 50,000 people in my community I'm responsible for every day, so it's just kind of I didn't realize how many people had anxiety when I was first getting into this, but now I think it's becoming more okay to talk about and be open about.
You know what, Colton, you gave us probably about 30 years of your life in about 15 seconds. You were in the military, you were in a homeless shelter, and I'm the number one guerrilla marketer in the planet. Like, that was a lot for me. I don't know about Hector and Bunny and Ari and Dolores, but I'm like, okay, wait a minute. How did this become a business, though? I mean, I understand anxiety, I understand the military, I understand, I've been homeless, I've lost everything, but how did you turn that into Anxiety Hacker, the business?
Yeah, so it's great. So I ended up starting a company helping veterans get jobs, and it grew to be the largest private military company in the state of Florida and Texas. And then all of a sudden, you know, I wasn't able to send people overseas for jobs. So I lost my company, and I actually ended up on the news as a scammer. So I had shut my company down and people paid to go through my training. And like, they didn't even like call me to ask me or like let me defend myself. And so then after I was labeled as a scammer and ended up homeless again, I tried to do business with somebody and they Googled my name, and then it just had that bad news story. I like, you know, I was saying fake news back then. And then that's what got me into marketing. And I said, okay, I'm living on my grandma's couch. I have no money. How can I get out of this? And so I said, it's free to put an event on Facebook. So I was like, okay, well, we're in Texas. We got fields. How about like a super soaker battle? So I said, I need a catchy title. So I put up World's Largest Super Soaker Battle. I went to bed. Next day, there was 10,000 people on it, then 30,000 by that Friday. And then I started getting calls from Nestle, Hasbro, General Motors, Vita Coco, stuff like that. And then they sponsored my event. Then I called all the news stations. Then I donated the money to veterans organizations, repaired my name. And then that's kind of what got me into marketing, was just because I had to figure it out for myself and I had no money to pay anyone to help me fix it. So,
Okay. So with Anxiety Hacker, your company, if people are, what problem are you solving for people?
I'm just helping people get through the anxiety. And that's where, you know, I wrote the book, The Truth About Anxiety. But really, I think everybody has anxiety for different reasons. You know, you could have it from going to war, or you could have it from, you know, your dog chewing up your Minnie Mouse, you know, little stuffed animal. And so what we do is we don't really focus on anxiety itself. We kind of focus, you know, through diversion, through like goal setting. And so that's what, you know, I created this planner. And so it's like a 28-day planner. So like, really, I help people focus on goals, because it's like, you know, have you ever been like scared of something and then you get distracted and then, you know, you catch yourself smiling and then you remember you're mad again? That's kind of what we're doing, is like distracting people through goal setting. And it's like finding your passion. And once you're able to do that, you kind of forget about the anxiety. And so that's kind of like our main focus.
I like that. I like that. I like distracting people, which I'm sure Bunny knows something about, just distracting people in their situations. But you're a coach. You've been coaching people through this time frame. And also, speakers are one of the industries that have pivoted a lot during this process, because as speakers, we're always used to going out. We used to the events, like Colton was saying, like the events, these large events. But now when we're on quarantine, you can't do as much. What has this time been like for you, Bunny?
So as I said, I started this quarantine journey. I was in Houston and it was kind of like flying through a time warp, because Houston shut down before really Virginia did. And so I flew home. My girls were still going to school and everything was still open. And then all of a sudden, you know, everything changed. So we lost about $380,000 worth of contracts over 3 days.
Oh, wow.
From speaking and from government, you know, contracted work that we were doing that's now deemed non-essential, you know, projects. And so it was kind of like what I imagined was, I'm a retired therapist. And so now I say I do business therapy. So, you know, anybody can hang a shingle and say that they're a business coach or a coach or whatever it is. But I really focus on that mental resiliency and momentum that a lot of entrepreneurs have. And I help individuals and business owners, even in Fortune 500 companies, to have that psychological momentum. And so there's nothing I can do about those canceled contracts. So I imagined this kind of Venn diagram where it was like, this is the stuff that impacts me, and this is the stuff that I can control. And I'm just going to put my energy and my resources in that magical little ellipse in the middle, where, and focus on the things that I can control and that I can, that do impact me and that meet both of those criteria. And I helped my clients to see that as well, so that they could make decisions on not just with the pivoting, it's great, but it's expensive. So the first step was to take a breath and ask yourself, if you were any less valuable yesterday before the quarantine than you are today. And the answer is no. And so there are still people that need what you have. And I went to my clients and said, like, what is it that you need right now? And the answer for most of my corporate clients and some of my individual clients was just space for some mental wellness and space for some self-care, not like as a team, but just for some self-care. And so we started facilitating virtual mental wellness sessions. And doing Wellness Wednesdays within companies, where virtually we would just come on and do some self-care exercises and do some activities and be able to feel like for just 60 minutes or 90 minutes that you were able to focus on, because there's four areas of self-care. And when I say self-care at a conference, most people think massages, getting their nails done, you know, those kinds of very short burn bursts. But there are four areas of self-care: mind, body, emotion, and spirit. And a truly fulfilled individual and healthy individual, especially mentally healthy individual, has those all well-rounded. And that can be doing more in those areas, but honestly, it can be doing less in those areas, because I have one client in particular who is trying so hard to figure out all the ways to pivot their business. And the answer ended up being, let's just not do anything for the next 30 days and just recover from the past, however, I think like 4 years of putting it down to the grind. You talk about having 5 years of business capital in the bank and the SBA saying 2 years of business capital in the bank. You know, that's not a reality for a lot of people to be able to take a month and do nothing. But for this particular individual, it was the best thing that could be done for the company. And you're a resource, you know, Colton's a resource, Dolores, you're a resource. And if I burn through you as a resource and you're the business owner and you are the lifeblood of the company, I've got nothing left. And so there's no rebuttal argument to self-care and to investing in yourself as a business owner, especially during times like this, but also recognizing that going and getting a manicure when you have spent, you know, an 85 to 100 hour work week is not going to solve everything.
I think that's like incredibly powerful what you're talking about. And like, I think mindset is everything. I think, you know, Ari would agree, like he could teach someone how to become a millionaire, but if they don't have the right mindset up here to do it, I think that's incredibly powerful what you do. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess I was just talking to my business partner shortly before I got on with you guys. I have 5 companies right now and I'm a third generation entrepreneur. And I think one of the things, Colton, that you're talking about as far as that mindset is to make sure that you are surrounding yourself with people that believe in you and see your value and that are being positive, and that you are not letting all of the negativity overwhelm you and overcome you right now. And being able to have my family, who are also previous business owners, and Colton, thank you for your service. I'm an Army wife. And so I've got this on solo a lot of the time. And so, you know, but I've got it on lock. There's again, the things that impact me and the things I can control. Well, things that impact me is the United States military owns my husband. Things that, you know, I can control is, you know, like I can make a schedule that just doesn't involve support from him. Cause unfortunately at the moment's notice, he can be gone, but it's really mental wellness. I hope you notice the difference between me saying mental health and mental wellness. The reason that I say mental wellness is because mental health has a stigma attached to it in the workplace. And even if you're an individual who wants to ask for help, because of the stigma attached, it may be difficult for you to feel safe enough to ask for that help. And so by companies proactively adding mental wellness into their conversations and into what I'm calling the reintegration plan, you know, as we come back to the office, that is something that I think is super powerful. And otherwise, to be honest with you, compared to the global pandemic, we're going to have a global post-traumatic stress and compassion fatigue issue and an even larger mental health crisis on our hands.
Well, let's talk about that. I want to allow Hector to speak on that. And the reason I want to focus on Hector is that you are classified, or you would be classified as an essential worker at this point, where you have other people who are obviously non-essential workers. And I have found that the essential workers, the essential companies, are the ones that to me have just been left out. They haven't received any type of assistance, business, you know, grants, money, you know, people who are unemployed, at least here in California, they're receiving an additional $600 a week to get them through this epidemic. Business owners who have been able to receive the grants, they're receiving some type of financial compensation. But then you have those people on the front line, you have the essential companies who are just like, you're essential, go to work. How has your mental wellness been, Hector?
I think it's basically a daily battle, if we can call it that. You know, it's a day in which things are not normal. You know, I start off my day thinking it's a Saturday, because, you know, you look at the window and essentially nobody's driving, there's nobody out there. And so essentially you think it's a weekend, but it's not. You get to work, things are slow sometimes. And then sometimes out of nothing, you know, out of nowhere, boom, we just get that call, we just get that email, and we just have to, you know, to act and, you know, move at a moment's notice. And then, but we just have to be ready. But it's tough, you know, as you were mentioning, we don't get the any kind of benefits. There's no benefits. And I understand that there's a lot of people that are going through very rough situations. You know, a lot of workers that were not necessarily deemed essential when in fact their jobs are, you know, and you know, call it, you know, a waiter at a restaurant, call it, you know, it really anybody. And essentially, you know, it's just tough. You know, I guess it's a battle that starts off kind of weird in the morning, but then when you get to work, you know, and you close off that external world, you don't know that there's no cars on the street. You do not know that a lot of factories are shut. You wonder if it's a good idea to even look at the news or not. My day, I can tell you, you know, very frankly, goes on a lot better if I do not read the news. Because I can just basically put myself in a little bubble, and do the marketing that I need to do the, you know, the numbers that I need to run, look at the planning, look at, you know, whatever needs to be done, and it's just troubling. You know, we're kind of in a state of war. It's just a virtual war, and the war is inside. There's a virus out there, absolutely, but the war is inside each one of our minds. And it's one of the toughest things, you know, as Dolores and Bonnie were saying, you know, it's just incredibly challenging. You know, it's tough.
Mm, I can imagine. Dolores, has it been tough for you as well? I mean, especially on a regular basis, what you work with is trust and building trust. A lot of people right now, they don't know, you know, what to do. How has it been for you, Dolores?
Yes, and I have to say, you know, I'm not technically an essential business, but my business hasn't changed. We work online, so there is no excuse for me not to meet with my clients. And the reality is that I see this stage or this reality we are living in as having three clear phases. Phase one, right as we were trying to figure out what was going on and lockdown was starting to happen across the US at least, phase one was like, we freeze and we panic. And so I think phase one for me, as a company that helps business owners grow their business, I went into overdrive and I said, how can I overdeliver? How can I be there for my clients? And what I found is that not only were my clients kind of wanting like an extra check-in or let's just hop on a call, but I started getting calls from everywhere. I'm originally from Argentina, and in Latin America, the concept of virtual business is just a thought. It's not real. Not that they don't lack the technology because it's available worldwide, but they absolutely lack the mindset. So that first couple of weeks where it's like phase one freeze, I got a call from every one of my siblings. I have five siblings. They're all entrepreneurs. And friends and people that know that I run a remote business. And then they're like, what do I do now? My brother runs a company with 600 employees. And from one day to another, all his team was home. and not everybody has a laptop. Like, it was like crazy. So I think personally, I went into a little bit of a burnout because I was working longer hours. Revenue absolutely went down, like all of us. But kind of like what Bonnie said is that, how can I serve? That's where I stood. And I started asking my clients and the market, how can I serve? And what we did is we created in a few days with my team, we created an online learning platform with all of the tools that a virtual business needs to operate, that business needs to operate remotely. And with quick, not just how to set up Zoom, but like how to use Zoom. So I was doing the strategy for each tool and my team was doing the technical part of the tool, and we gifted to the market. I think the first week we gave it for free. The second week we did like $3 a month or pay what you can. And now it's tapered off. But I think the phase one was like free. Phase two was a little bit like what Bunny was talking about, is companies, hey, I have permission to slow down. Be okay with not making the same level of revenue. So what does you or your company need to focus on right now? Is it employee health? Is it your health? Is it cleaning up SOPs? Like, I have some clients are like, okay, let's clean up the systems because we know the business is going to double when we get out. Like, if you're a hairdresser, you're gonna have three times the appointments. If you're a pediatric doctor on wellness basis, like I have my neighbor, I've been talking to my neighbor who's a dentist. They're not what, I mean, he's concerned that his business is shut down, but he's more concerned that how is he going to fit all of his appointments when we open up? So it's just a looking, it's hard for us companies and business owners to have to turn off the on button. And what does that look like? And how do we design it so that we take care of ourselves, take care of our families, and prepare for the reentry? And so phase two and phase three is all about prepare for the reentry. Phase three is slow reentry.
Dolores, the what I'm most concerned about is not this current time of the being at home. I'm most concerned about the reintegration. And like you said, having the three times as much work. And, you know, because we've all been there when we're putting in the hours in order to get our business started. And we're essentially, some businesses are going through that. I have businesses and companies that have had more work than they can handle during this time because of their particular industry. And then I have some companies that, you know, are going to have to close their doors because they haven't had any revenue or any income. I don't know if I can share my screen for a second with the let me see if you guys can see this. Can you see the five stages of burnout?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that honeymoon experience of, you know, oh, we get to work from home. And it was kind of an excitement, but a nervousness. And then the stress is, and remember that honeymoon phase was like 4 to 6 weeks long. And then stress, you know, that's another 4, maybe even 8 weeks. And then the chronic stress. So we're looking in the fall of this chronic stress, burnout, habitual burnout. Now, does it take everybody the same amount of time to go through all of these phases? No. I mean, you could, as an entrepreneur, you can go through 1 through 5 in one single day. And Dolores, as you said, that you burned out. What number 5 is where I'm concerned, where that's just the habitual level of how we feel. And that expectation is just that habitual burnout. And, yeah. You know, we could.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think we lost our hostess, but we'll continue. I think the kind of antidote or strategy against a habitual burnout is to pause and realize the world freaking changed. And so don't try to operate your business and set your goals to the old goals when the whole world changed. So it's like, okay, look back and okay, the world changed. We are changing with it. So what does our next reality, what does our business look like now? And be willing to stop the resisting of what's happening and go into the creative process of redesign. Who do I want to be in the new world? I think that's, for me personally, it was allowing me to get out, because when I get into the creative space, I actually get giddy. Like, it's exciting, it's fun, it's not pushy, it's it creates space. And so that's kind of where I want to take I've been spending time myself, but also taking my clients into, well, so the world shut down, you know the title of the play, stop the world, I want to get off. Well, the world stopped and you got off. Now it's like, okay, you got a chance to redesign. How do you want to get back in, and what does that look like? So it's I think if we continue resisting what happened and try to continue operating in as we did before, then we are going to fall into the habitual burnout. So I love that you shared, Bunny. And we love having you back, Sharifa.
I see the show goes on. The show goes on. Like, good. They're talking. Everybody's having a good day.
We were still on Facebook, I think. I don't know how that worked, because you're the hostess. But
yeah, I hit the record button on my end once, because I had the slide up. And then when I came back, Dolores said, we lost our hostess. I was like, it's no longer recording. She probably needs this to be recorded. So I hit the record button. I got you. As an entrepreneur.
Thank you. This is what we do. It is so interesting, because I was thinking last night, I was like, technology sometimes gives me little problems, and I have three shows to do today. I have an 8 o'clock, a 12 o'clock, and a 2 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, Zoom, don't fail me now. Like, I need you to work today. And it was swimming along, and then all of a sudden my internet went down. Thank God for hotspots. Entrepreneurs, we always have plan B, plan E, plan M. So at least I'm back. We're live on Facebook. Everything looks good. The show must go on. Ari, did you say something? Did I miss something? Because you're just sitting here watching the show. Teach us how to become like you.
Yeah, no. So I unmuted myself just before you disappeared. One of the things I'm talking about in my book is prepare yourself for risks that you don't know are coming. For example, nobody knew about this coronavirus, 6 months ago. It could be a hurricane. It could be, you are in California, a major earthquake or something. So every few years, there is some big surprise that falls upon us and cause a major disruption of businesses. It's hard to plan for something you don't know, but one way to mitigate from such big unknowns is to plan your business in a way that you will have multiple sources of income. You talked about keeping 5 years in your bank account, but if you don't have 5 years worth of money, keep your old job or find another part-time job or become a Uber driver for 3 hours a day or something that will keep you afloat. So sometime when one business is down, the other business may keep you at least partially floating. That's the best advice I can think about. Without knowing what the issue is in the future. And believe me, in the next 10 years, there will be something else.
I definitely agree. One of the things I learned from being laid off 8 times was not to put all my eggs in one basket. I always have to create multiple streams of income, because exactly what you were saying, some area may dry up and I don't want to be back in that position where it was all I had. This job was all I had. And that process gave me a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, because it's not knowing, and then you at a certain salary, you lose that job. And then now you got to find a new job, but maybe it's far less than what you were used to making. So just different streams of income definitely help. But I want to go back to something I think Colton said earlier that was, I guess, an indirect question to you, Ari. you are a top investor, you speak about investing, what would you consider the millionaire mindset?
So kind of the same thing in investing, you have to deal with multiple risks, and every investment that you make has its risks. So one mindset is don't expect all your investments to succeed equally. When you talk to, you know, investors, they'll tell you 1 out of 10 really succeeds and 6 or 7 are doing maybe okay and few fails. So you need to have the stomach to, you know, accept the failures. And the more failures you have, it's a numbers game. The more, almost like people that do sales or business development, you have to accept a rejection. That's part of the game, and accept the fact that in a numbers game like this, every rejection puts you closer to the next success story.
I definitely agree. What are your thoughts on that, Dolores?
It is kind of like, it is a sales, and it is like an business development or investment. It's the same thing. It's just, where are you going to get your money's worth on each one of the leads that you pursue? The thing with investment, of course, it's a deeper risk, but it's all about portfolio. One of the things that we do, I teach with my clients, is as you think of your marketing or, you know, getting out there, you have to look at your marketing as a portfolio approach and invest in different strategies that are aligned with the unique way that you want to show up in the world. And some will pay off and some will surprise you and won't. Like, there might be a proven strategy that you copied or learned from someone and you want to implement it, doesn't work for you. And then, like Colton was saying, he opened an event in Facebook, said, show up this place, and went to bed. And the next day he had a huge business, profitable business with zero investment. So there's back to creativity, there's a layer of trusting yourself, thinking outside the box and thinking about what is other people not doing. Because the moment you are doing what other people are doing, you're already absolutely late in the game. So it's like, okay, I see this is what people are doing. Okay, what is the edgy thing that might be similar, but a little different? Go do that. And you won't have, just like an investment, you won't have guarantees because nobody else has done it, but you might get your best rate of return.
That's a very good point. And Colton also mentioned it at the beginning. One of the chapters in my book is, the title is, in business is better to be different than to be better. It's kind of the same concept.
Yeah, one of the things that we do at Masters in Clarity is that I'm a creative and I like to take action. So, but I'm not necessarily the best grower. And I'm really clear about that because I get bored. So one of the things that we do is we actually create services like a lab, and I have sold some of the services to other companies. So like the last one, I just sold one of our products to a much larger company that focuses on that industry alone. And now I'm, you know, in the transition, getting them set up and running. But they are, A, have a much larger audience, and B, once I get it set up and running, I will forever make money out of that product because I have a phantom equity, but the product can grow led by someone else because it has clear SOPs. So I look at my business in my creative endeavors. What I'm really doing is creating micro businesses that I will spin off and sell. I have like a lab and then I sell. And the beauty is that I financially, it requires zero in money to invest because it's mostly my time and my team testing ideas. And is there a market need for this? And then off they go. It's like children. Yeah, I have four children and I get them off to college.
Wait, the one thing that I want to go there with on the mindset on the money and the investment is that value, money is a made up thing. Like, we made it up. We print it. We literally make it. Value is different. And so right now I have this big block lettering in my productivity journal that says collaborate. So Will Colton, Hector Dolores, Ari, Sharifa, and I connect right after this and say, hey, Colton, let's do a Nerf battle like in the middle of Virginia or whatever it is. Hector, you know, if you're an essential employee and you've been going through this, I'm sure your team could use a self-care mental wellness session. And I'd love to be able to provide that for your team, you know, at no cost and be able to send you, like I created a How to Stay Sane During Insane Times ebook. And so I've just been pushing out, here's the value that I'm blessed to have. And I've just been offering that out as you talked about, I think Dolores, you talked about having it be free and then what you could pay and then a certain cost, you know, being able to work with the military, what has been such a blessing in being a part of a military family because you're only as strong as your weakest link. And so also I spent a lot of time with horses. And if I think about us as a herd, remember post 9/11, how humane we were to each other and how we really healed together. Like that's what it's gonna take right now. And so for you know, Hector to be still in his office, you may need time to process this afterwards since you've been nose to the grind. You may need some time to process what you're going through and what your team's going through if you haven't stopped and really thought about that.
I agree, and
I love what you said about value and money, because as I think when in trust funnels, you know, what I think about is, so let's say that you put something out, let's say that you send that to Hector and Hector says yes and says, yeah, I will send this to my team. He just paid you with trust. I call it the trust currency. Yeah. So every time someone says, oh yeah, sure, let's have coffee, or yes, I'll download your free whatever, they are actually, there's a transaction happening, there's a currency in play, and there's a purchase happening. So people don't understand that you don't start selling or you don't get paid when you sell a product for money. You get paid, I mean, I think there's so, it's the money transaction is easy compared to the first yes of a trust, because basically you are extending your hand and someone is holding you, is grabbing your offer. That is the hardest part and the most, I think, rewarding and for me, the most grateful, because they just said yes with their click or their download or their coffee time to say, huh, I don't know much about you, but I want more. And then you start building the relationship that maybe ends up in a financial transaction, only if you have a solution that the other person has a need for, because sometimes it doesn't end in that transaction. That doesn't mean your business is bad. It's that you simply don't have the solution to a problem that they have.
Or maybe sometimes you just simply have to leave people wanting more.
Wanting more, and maybe they're not ready to solve the problem.
Absolutely, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to leave everyone wanting more, okay? And we will have more tomorrow, but what I like to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's watching live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives, and just let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. So I'm going to start with Colton and give you a few seconds to speak directly to our audience.
Awesome. Well, three quick takeaways. Number one, it is okay to not be okay. That means it's okay to be angry and sad and frightened right now. It's okay to deal with, you know, the feelings of being alone and scared. Number two, it's okay to have boundaries. We need y'all healthy, so it's okay to set boundaries in your relationships, your marriage, your work. It's okay to set boundaries. Number three, use the buddy system. So connect with somebody, talk to them. If you're feeling bad or anxious or stressed, talk to someone, get help. I think the scariest place in the world is inside our own heads, so stay away from that if you can.
That's right. Hashtag anxiety hacker. I love it. Hector, what do you have for us?
Well, I think that as a fourth one to add to Colton's, I would say allow yourself to fail, but then spring back into planning and action. You know, don't stay too long in that failure mode. It's okay. Don't stay too long, and don't just spring back into action without planning. You know, sometimes the best ideas may develop overnight. You know, you may have a dream, you may have a moment while doing something with your kids, but not always that idea to go on, you know, YouTube and add a channel to on top of the 5 million channels that people are broadcasting every day is gonna, you know, increase your revenue. Go ahead, think through it, invest your time into planning, and then from there, you know, take the next step. Allow yourself to fail again, plan again, and move forward. We're in a world that just when somebody just pulled the rug out of her feet, you know, 2 months ago, and then we're trying to go back up. We're trying to stand on our feet again, and you know, the rug just gets being pulled. So allow yourself to plan. And then, you know, move forward and then plan again and move forward. It's on, you know, there's times like now, it's a generation changing time. So I don't know that, you know, the times we live in now are going to be changing much more. If it's no such thing is probably possible, you know, it's ever changing now. So, you know, how can it change more?
I love it. I think it's definitely beautiful. It's words to live by, to think about. Everybody's going through it. So we just have to, you know, keep going through it, but don't be afraid to fail. Bunny, what do you have for us?
So I think for the listeners, when you are doing this, one of the most powerful things you can do is label what you're feeling right now and what you're experiencing right now. Just identifying how it is that you're feeling, because we have a joke as in the therapist world that when somebody says I'm fine, it stands for fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. And so being able to actually label what your concerns are is so powerful. And it also leads to better mental health overall. My second is collaboration, because this idea of Dolores, you know, having all of these micro businesses and having to have all of these income streams that are dependent on herself, I'm sure that some of us just on this call can collaborate and be able to add more value that we, like we talked about, that's not necessarily money, but together we are more valuable than we are trying to do this individually. And my last is gonna be stop saying the new normal, because the life was not normal prior to this. Normal is a setting on a washing machine. And so when you're looking to the future, change is the only constant. There's not going to be a new normal, and your normal is different than somebody else's normal. So there really is no normal. So that's kind of one of the things, one of, I guess, my pet peeves is that phrase of the new normal, because it's giving this expectation that at some day that you're going to snap your fingers and wake up and life is going to be as it was. And never, to my knowledge, except for in Back to the Future, have we, and I don't have a DeLorean that goes 88 miles an hour, have we been able to go back? We're not going back. We're going forward. There's not going to be a new normal. There's just going to be the future. And what are you going to make of it?
That's right. We have to look for the future. Dolores, what do you have for us?
Yeah, so I think for everybody feeling like if you're a business owner, where's my role in this situation or in the future? Where does my company need to focus on or position itself? I would say there's a quick exercise that I want to invite you is, number one is grab a piece of paper and write 50 problems that the world has right now. Not two, not 10, go all the way to 50, because the first 25 are going to be on the surface. And then after the first 25, you're going to actually get deeper. Go ahead and circle 5 that called you to maybe do something about it and figure out some solution that you can offer to those 5 problems you identified. And number 3, go and see who is solving that problem in the marketplace and how. And get creative and say, okay, how will you solve it? Pivot your business towards solving those problems that you've identified.
That's an action step. That is something specific that we can take away from the show and that we can learn. Ari, what do you have for us?
The message of the book that I've done and I'm preaching to my clients is The Devil is in the Details. Whatever you do, and I'm building on what Dolores said, once you decide where you go, once you decide what your new business or new future is going to be, and I agree with Bunny, the world is in a continuous change. Just take a checklist, and it's free on my website, and go through one by one and see where the obstacles are in front of you and just plan. The checklist is like 30 or 40 or 50 items long. Maybe only half a dozen are relevant for your business, but at least it will guide you on what to think about and what to plan for.
Yes, I think that's what people are looking for right now. They're looking for guidance. And that's one of the reasons they tune in to the Roundtable Talk Show, so they can learn from people like you who are doing it and who have done it and will continue to do it. I want to thank each and every one of you for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in live to the show, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support, but we're going to ask you to support us a little bit more and check out our guest websites. Maybe there was something that someone said that really resonated with you. Maybe you want to check out Ari's checklist. Maybe you want to find out what Hector's up to today, and also follow Carlton. But please support our guests, because they are here to help you. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asharifa.com. I'll be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Until then, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now. Bye.